Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I welcome Brad Bowman of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies to guide me through a tangle of statements from NATO, from the Kremlin, from Kiev, about what we see right now, which is a buildup of very large and sophisticated modern warfare units in and around Crimea and Ukraine. Brad, a very good evening to you. I read from a statement at the AP most recently. Russian President Vladimir Putin on Tuesday sternly warned NATO against deploying its troops and weapons to Ukraine, saying it represents a red line for Russia. Putin expressed concern that NATO could eventually use the Ukrainian territory to deploy missiles capable of reaching Moscow in just 5 minutes. "The emergence of such threats represents a red line for us," said the president, reminding me immediately a new book, Serhiy Blokhi at Harvard, of the Cuban Missile Crisis. Jack Kennedy and Nikita Khrushchev faced off in what we know now was the eve of a nuclear armed conflict. Missiles in Turkey, intermediate range missiles stationed by the U.S. early in the Cold War, had the capability of reaching Moscow. Missiles in Cuba, based there by Nikita Khrushchev in the summer of 62, had the capability of reaching Washington. The two sides stood toe-to-toe and stood down. The reason I mention this is that Vladimir Putin is an historian of the Kremlin. He knows very well talking missiles this late in the game is a distraction. But there's a large audience for this in Europe. We can recall the end of the Cold War, and the Europeans were extremely exercised about the U.S. basing intermediate range missiles in then West Germany. So what is your measure of this deployment about Ukraine? What is your measure of Vladimir Putin's hostile remarks before I get to the pushback by NATO and the Secretary of State? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. It's a pleasure to talk with you again. And what a complex and interesting and serious topic. I mean, this is not child's play we're talking about here. These are serious, serious provocations, in my view, that Putin is undertaking. He's assembling massive, serious, capable, modernized forces basically on three sides of Ukraine, if you will. I still consider Crimea part of Ukraine, but we will call it, you know, the north, the east, and the south. We're talking about main battle tanks, self-propelled howitzers, infantry fighting vehicles, multiple launch rocket systems, short-range ballistic missiles, and surface-to-air missiles. And so, you know, Putin, he's a shrewd one. You know, I remember John McCain calling him the former KGB colonel. He'll never miss an opportunity to try to flip the script on us. And he knows that Americans and Europeans are excessively prone to what General McMaster has called strategic narcissism, where we think everything that is happening in the world is because of what we're doing, and or we can change things by what we don't do. And Putin understands that and plays right into it. And he suggests, you know, hey, I'm only doing this because of what you guys are doing. But, you know, I think Americans and Europeans should just pause for a moment and ask themselves, you know, maybe there's certain things Putin's going to do regardless of what we do, and we just need to decide whether we're going to respond. For example, Russia has been actively developing the Sirkon submarine-launched hypersonic missile. That is a missile that they can put on their submarines. They just had another successful test in the last few weeks and parked that submarine off the U.S. coast and have the same sort of strike effect that he's expressing concern about for his country. And it's the same kind of strike effect that he already has with the ground-launched cruise missiles that he deployed in violation of the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty. So, you know, these are steps that Putin is already taking. So warning, hey, I may have to take these steps if you do this. Well, he's already taking them. And to me, that just shows, we'll use the word polite company here, we'll use the word irony in his approach.
We have this from the Secretary of State in Latvia, Mr. Blinken. meeting with NATO counterparts. Latvia is the front line. This is Baltic State. They're looking, they're toe-to-toe with the Ruskies, to quote a very famous movie. Said the Secretary of State, we don't know whether President Putin has made the decision to invade. We do know that his putting in place, he is putting in place the capacity to do so on short order, should he so decide. We must prepare for all contingencies. Again, Brad, this is a puzzle. We're talking about an incident that during the Cold War would have scared everybody. Is this getting the attention of all the capitals of Europe? I understand there's Omicron. I understand we're in recovery. I understand there's a presidential election in Paris. But the Secretary of State is not being idle when he says, for all contingencies. You know the military. That means they're planning everything from a peaceful stand down to tactical nuclear weapons. Anything's possible.
It is. It is. And, you know, there's so much going on in the world, and Americans are understandably busy with their own lives. And, you know, I do this for a living, so I focus on these sorts of things. But I completely agree with the push behind what you're saying, and that is this is worthy of serious attention. You have nuclear-armed Russia and nuclear-armed United States that avoid more or less direct confrontation throughout the Cold War. And we want to avoid that now for obvious reasons. You know, we have, you know, and there's a whole rampant speculation about, is this just, you know, them posturing, or is this preparation for a real invasion? The truth is, you know, people can act like they know. We don't know. And I'm not even sure Putin knows, right? Because he's made a deliberate effort repeatedly in the past, including early this year, to make exercises and preparation for an invasion look identical. There's reasons why he wants to do that. There's some differences this time. We see more going on in Crimea. We see some troop movements at night. We see more equipment flowing. You know, so there's some differences. You know, do you activate the National Guard? There's things you look for, but they're deliberately trying to blur those differences, and that increases concern and miscalculation. There's clearly some things that the U.S. intelligence community knows that they've been sharing with their allies that are of deep concern. Ukraine's talking about fears of coups and attacks from three directions. And so, you know, this is very, very serious. I would just, you know, remind folks a little, you know, I know you're a student of history. I am as well. You know, in the 1994 Budapest Memorandum, right, Ukraine agreed to give up its nuclear weapons in return for assurances from Russia. Russia signed the Budapest Memorandum to respect the independence and sovereignty of Ukraine and refrain from the use or a threat of force. And of course, they violated that in Crimea in 2014. They've been violating it for years in the Donbass with lots and lots of troops there. And Putin is trying to flip the script and make Ukraine seem like the aggressor, which is just laughable. You know, I saw the Russian foreign ministry spokeswoman say today, criticizing Ukraine for moving its own military forces within its own country to fight a Russian-backed separatist movement in Ukraine. Now, isn't that irony rich, right? Because Russia's, hey, it's just us moving our forces in Russia, right? But what's good for the goose is not good for the gander. Ukraine can't use its own military forces in its own country to fight against a Russian-backed separatist movement. I mean, that's just deliciously rich if it weren't so scary. So, you know, at this moment, we need NATO unity, right? Ukraine, for the listeners, obviously is not a member of NATO. The Baltic countries are. There's a difference there. But, you know, any sort of division or weakness coming at this moment from NATO, and especially from Washington, I would say, is going to be perceived as a green light by Putin. That's if we know anything, if we've learned anything, Putin perceives weakness as a green light for additional aggression, and he'd like nothing more to reclaim as much of Ukraine as possible.
So at the very least, then, we presume this is a test of the Biden administration. Is that fair,
Brad? Sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. It's a former Secretary of State George Shultz has a great quote that you're probably familiar with, it, John, that some of your listeners maybe haven't heard. He talked about the importance of, quote, the shadow of power over the bargaining table.
Right.
At a minimum, Putin, this is a deliberate effort on Putin's part to put the shadow of power on the bargaining table. And what is the number one thing that Putin does not want? He does not want Ukraine to become a member of NATO. That's why he occupied Georgia years ago, and that's why he's done what he's done in Ukraine, because he does not want. And if you zoom out from that, what's the bigger conflict? This is 19th century, if you will. Might makes right authoritarianism against rule of law, self-determination, sovereignty. Should Ukraine? Here's the question for the listeners: Should Ukraine have the right to determine with whom it associates? That's the question. Should Ukraine have the right and ability to defend its borders? Yes or no? Right. Putin says no. NATO should say yes.
Bradley Bowman of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.